Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and here with my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. We want to welcome you to this broadcast. We want to let you know that this is a live call-in talk show. We are broadcasting live from Studio 4 right here in Hillcrest in Stephenville. We are airing on KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 out of Hereford, Texas, KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma, and we're also airing on two internet radio programs, knowthetruthradio.org and also thegospelradionetwork.org. You can listen to those on your computer. You can listen to them on your smartphone. It's not hard to get on there, and you can listen to us on the go if you need to go. Now, our motto has been, "You have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible has to say." That is our motto always. We also have a podcast, and I'm going to let Tom explain that to you, where you can go to listen to the podcast. Tom?
Go to the Harrison Moore website, and down in the bottom right-hand corner, there will be a RSS feed. You click there and follow directions, and then you can get involved in the podcast, where you can listen to the program anytime you want to, and you'll get an update when new programs are coming up. Good way to listen to it anytime you want.
Well, thank you, Tom. Also, you can go to the on the knowthetruthradio.org. You can go to the chat box and there enter into the discussion if you don't want to pick up the telephone. If you want to pick up the telephone, all you have to do, it's a toll-free number from anywhere. And the number is 1-855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, there is a chat box on knowthetruthradio.org. There is another chat box on thegospelradionetwork.org. And you can get on there and type in your questions, your comments. We want you to get involved in this program.
And David, the Gospel Radio Network, if you don't see the chat box, refresh your screen, and then it'll pop up at the bottom.
All right. Okay. We have another way that you can get involved is you can go to your email. And on your email, you can email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. That is questions@harrisonmoore.org. And that email will go to my email address and also Tom's email address. And we will try to get to it through the program if we can. If not, then we'll pick it up later after the program, and we will get back to you, and we will answer these questions. Our goal here on this program is to give you a Bible answer for your question. It's not important what I think. It's not that important what Tom thinks. It's what is important is that we look to God's Word for a standard and for an answer to every one of the questions of life that we have. Now, we have some additional sponsors. They are the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, and the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas. So we want to welcome you to the program. We've got a good program for you tonight, and our program is going to start off with something that we had come across our chat box last week, and we said that we would address this this question. And the first question comes from our chat box last week and during the program, and the next question comes from the newspaper today at the Stephenville Empire Tribune, and we'll get to both of these questions. We had a question last week concerning this. The question was this: when do we receive a spirit at conception? If so, are all those babies aborted, those aborted babies, are they in heaven? And that's a great question. It deserves a Bible answer, and we will get that Bible answer before this hour is over. We also want to address this current topic that I mentioned concerning a judge's ruling on Proposition 8 and the marriage between a man and a woman. Now, Proposition 8 was a proposition that was voted on in California to limit the marriage to that of a man and a woman, to limit the marriage as God has defined it. Now, it was stricken down by a judge out there in California, and Proposition 8 hired a lawyer, a fellow by the name of Charles Cooper, to represent their viewpoint, and he took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And the judge that argued before the Supreme Court defending the biblical position on marriage now says that his opinion on marriage has, quote, evolved and is now in support of same-sex marriage. I'll read you just one quote. He says, "My views evolve on issues of this kind the same way as other people's do. And how I view this down the road may not be the way I view it now or how I viewed it 10 years ago." And that's from attorney Charles Cooper, and that is given to us from the Associated Press, dated April the 20th, 2014. So the question is this: is that true? Do all people's opinion on issues of right and wrong evolve as it affects their lives, and does this make it right? Does the passage of time itself make it right? And so, Tom, I'm going to you for the first question. We'll address these in the order that they came. We had the first question come last week. It was submitted via the chat box from the Fort Worth area from Nate and Emmy. And so shoot us the first question, and let's see if we can't come up with a Bible answer for this.
Well, the first question tonight, David, as you mentioned earlier, goes something like this. When do we receive a spirit at conception? And if so, are all those aborted babies in heaven? Now, again, we want to remind you tonight of our motto in this regard. You have heard what men have said. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. You see, we need to always use, David, and our audience out there listening tonight, that we need to use God's standard to determine the truth on this question as well as any question that we might come up with. And we've got to understand it's not what man says or what man has heard or what they've evolved into, mm-hmm. as the second mm-hmm. question we'll talk about. Is what does the Bible have to say about this? And sometimes, David, you know, if the Bible tells you something about it, that settles the matter, doesn't it?
Sure.
And it didn't have to say it 100 times.
No.
If the Bible says it one time, that settles the matter. Well, what about this idea of when does a person receive a spirit or a soul? And we might also mention in this regard, David, that throughout the Bible, the word spirit and the word soul are used synonymously mm-hmm. to have reference to one's inner self, one inner being. Mm-hmm. And we've got to always look at the context, because sometimes soul just means one's person.
Right.
And so the context will set out what we're talking about here. But I want you to notice tonight, as we begin our answering that first question, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "And Jehovah God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." David, God created man. And at the point of that creation, mm-hmm. he became a living soul. He became one who had a soul, a spirit.
Instantly. The moment the man was created and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of God, instantly he became a living soul. Instantly. The breath of God, interestingly here, in the beginning is the soul of man. Now, when we get all the way over here to Luke chapter 1, And when we're talking about the conception of John the Baptist and the conception of Jesus the Christ, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 31, it says, "And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." And then the angel says to, in verse 36, "And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age." What did she conceive there, Tom?
A son. And notice that it was not a son after the child was born, but Scripture, the Holy Spirit, calls the conception a son.
A son.
And so there we see, David, that when does life begin? Does it begin at birth? No. Inspiration says it begins at conception.
Sure.
Whenever the sperm and egg cell meet and come together, there is uniting there. That's conception. And God says that now is a human being.
He's a son. In verse number 41, it says, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb." Mm-hmm. Well, now, that son that was conceived is also a babe.
Mm-hmm.
The son conceived is a babe. So at conception, it never changes from being a human being. He is a son at conception. He is called also a babe. And then later on, after the child is born, the very same word is used to describe an infant.
Exactly. And that is the Greek word brephos. For you who want to write this down, B-R-E-P-H-O-S, brephos. And the word used here, the babe leaped in his mother's womb, the same Greek word is used in Luke chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, "Where you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in the manger." The same Greek word. And so we learn there, David, then, that inspiration, that God considers it all the same, a child at conception, a child in the womb, and a child that has been born and now is outside the womb, they are all the same in the sight of God.
Yes. And later on in the New Testament, in James chapter 2 and verse 26, it says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works dead also." So the body has a spirit instantly, or it would be dead.
Exactly. And so we see from that then, David, when there is a conception and inspiration calls that living, and when the child is in the mother's womb, that's living. We have to believe, because the Scripture says that once they are in conception, once they're in the womb, they have a soul, because if they don't, then they would not be alive, as Jesus mentioned.
They would be dead. Now, there's one more passage of Scripture that I want to read. But before we do, I want to remind you that the chat box is alive and well on KnowTheTruthRadio.org and also on our other sister station there, TheGospelRadioNetwork.org. There are chat boxes on each one, but we would encourage you, if you would like to make a comment, if you have a question, to pick up the phone and call toll free 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That is a toll-free number. We'll put you on the air. Well, you can get your question out there. You can make your comment. We will give you a Bible answer for your question, for your comment. So when we look at all of this evidence that the Bible has put together, now, the question was, when do we receive a spirit? At conception? That is the question. Okay, and it's a two-part question. We'll get to the second part in just a moment. But as you mentioned when we started this, we must use God's standard. If we do not use God's standard, then you will find that man's standard will change from time to time, mm-hmm. and even evolve, as we have been told in the newspapers, in the media. An opinion has evolved. Now our knowledge has evolved. God doesn't change. His standard is what it is. It will never change. It's always going to be the same. And what we have so far is indisputable evidence that at conception, we have life and a soul.
Exactly right. Now remember, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're answering two questions that we've received. The first one is, when do we receive a spirit at conception? And if so, are all those aborted babies in heaven?
Well, now, but let me interject this one thing before we introduce the last part of our evidence here. Why is this a question so important that people know, Tom? Why is it so important that people know that conceived babies in the womb have a soul at conception? Why is that so important that people get to know that?
Well, you know, the people who are trying to commit murder, they call mm-hmm. it abortion. Mm-hmm. They're mm-hmm. killing a living soul. Now, those people who believe in abortion are those people who are having abortions.
Mm-hmm.
They're told or they're given the idea that that is not a living soul. It's just a matter of tissue. It's not a living person. It does not have a living soul. They're being told that, and as a result of that, because of those falsehoods, people are being involved in murder every day. Thousands of little children are being murdered. You sent me a link the other day about that doctor who was involved in those abortions.
Gosnell.
And I was looking at it, and I couldn't look at it more than about a minute, and I had to quit looking at it because it was so morbid, so horrible. That man killing all of those babies. People need to know that these children, these babies in the womb, are living souls from God.
No doubt. Now, there's one step beyond this, and this should chill you when you think about aborting something. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5, the Lord to Jeremiah said, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nation." Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Tom, what is God telling us here?
He's telling us, David, that God knows those individual children who are being killed, who are being murdered by these guilty doctors. He knows them. They may not have a name yet, but God knows them personally. That tells me, David, that they are a living soul. If God knows their entity, they know who they are. He knew Jeremiah when he was in his mother's womb. God knows every single child that's being murdered by these horrible doctors.
Okay, so that gets that pretty well covers the first part of that question. When do we receive a spirit at conception? And the answer is absolutely yes, that's when we do. According to the Word of God, according uh-huh. to God's standard, not man's standard. Because now, if you look at man's standard, if you look at something that Planned Parenthood has contrived, Planned Parenthood would have you to believe they actually don't give you a birth date, they give you a death date.
They have concocted
in their own mind that somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 some odd weeks along the way, mm-hmm. that you can go ahead and kill that baby. And they don't call it a baby, they call it something else so that it won't sound like you're killing a baby. But you can abort that, that's the terminology they like to use. And you will not be harming anything, anyone, or anybody. So they come up with a death date, not a birth date, but a death date. The birth date actually happened at conception. That's when the actual birth date is. It's at conception. And any time after conception, when that child is murdered, when that child is, quote, aborted by a doctor or anybody, then that child has been deprived of life that God gave him.
Exactly. And David, where does that child go when it is murdered? You know, we use the word aborted, but that does not really tell the picture.
No, it does
not. That child is murdered. Where does the child go?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the child goes, David, any place that the faithful child of God also goes at death, and that is in the Hadean realm, not in the very presence of God, but as we see in Luke chapter 16, in Abraham's bosom.
Right.
You know, and so there is a place of paradise, a place of goodness, of a place of rest where this aborted, murdered child goes.
Right.
You know, some people have a misconception, David, and we might mention this just briefly. When a person dies, they don't go straight to heaven if they're a child of God, do they?
No, and not according to Luke chapter 16, verses 19. And here you have the account of the rich man and Lazarus. And we see very clearly that they are at a waiting place, two different locations, but they can actually see one another. One is a place of torment. The other one is a place of paradise. And there they await the judgment. On that great day, all will be raised. All will be resurrected. And the righteous shall go with Jesus into heaven, and the unrighteous shall be sent to everlasting torment in hell. And here, that, as you mentioned just a moment ago, that baby is sinless. Jesus says, forbid not all the little children to come unto me in Matthew chapter 19. So we see that they are all sinless, and they go where all faithful children of God go, which is what you say. It is not heaven itself, but it is a heavenly condition, not in the immediate presence of God, but in a heavenly place, in a place called paradise, a place where Jesus went when he was crucified.
Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or comment, we encourage you to do so. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We also have some activity in the chat box, and so you can also get involved there. Also, you can also email us a question. We probably won't get to the emailed questions today, but we will look at them and maybe answer and have programs based upon them at another day. And the email is questions, that's plural, questions@harrisonmoore.org. Tonight we're looking at two questions, really. The first question that we began looking at tonight is, when do we receive a spirit? Is it at conception? The answer is yes. And what happens to all of those murdered children? Well, we've seen, David, that they go to the Hadean realm in a place of paradise. We talked about that in Luke 16 as Abraham's bosom, a place of comfort, a place of rest. That's where the aborted / murdered children go. And you know, David, it makes no difference what a human doctor may say about a baby in the womb. It will not change the truth. It will not change the standard of what is right and what is wrong, will it?
No, it will not. And throughout the years, we have seen doctors and even institutions like Planned Parenthood come up with these ideas and try to get these ideas promoted. And they do a very good job because they got the media on their side. They promote these ideas that the baby is not truly a baby, it's just a bunch of tissue, and all in the world you got to do is just abort that tissue and nothing will come of it. But here tonight we have seen what God says about when a living soul actually becomes a living soul. And it makes no difference that Planned Parenthood sets a death date. 20 weeks, the death date. You can't have you can't murder a child after 20 weeks because then it would be illegal. And yet we see it happening all the time. This Dr. Gosnell that you mentioned just a moment ago, we mentioned him a couple of weeks ago, or maybe even last week. Dr. Gosnell has murdered literally thousands, over 1,000 easy of these little babies. And nobody said a word. Nobody said a word until some of his own people that worked for him got so tore up by what they saw, they finally turned him in. But up until that point, he was the champion of the poor people in Philadelphia. He was the champion of family planning right there in Philadelphia. And he aborted children in the womb that were 9 months old. And there are pictures of them available that the media will not show. You can look at them on the internet.
And in the places where he would try to hide the babies, it was just, I just couldn't hardly stand looking at it. It's just so horrible. But David, that's where our world is. And when they don't understand that that child in the mother's womb has a soul, that God considers them a living being, not until that point are we ever going to make inroads in trying to stop the murder of these children called abortion. Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE.
Now, before we go to break, I have a couple of things I would like to say about what we have talked about thus far. The question that was submitted last week is a very, very good question. Very few people look at it this way, the way the question was phrased. When does a soul actually have life? Or when does a life have a soul? And what has happened throughout the years, Tom, is that people have totally excluded the point that Jesus has given us, or God has given us and blessed us with a soul. And that's how we live. The spirit of man is the inner man. When we die, the body separates from that spirit that God gave us. That very spirit, according to James chapter 2, verse 26, is what gives that body life. And without that spirit, that body is dead. And so the question is a phenomenal one. And if we could all get that point across to everyone that we talk to, that the soul is what gives life and God gives the soul at conception. If we could get that point across, Tom, perhaps it would be that women and men who are totally promoting this thing of murdering children in the womb, they would drop this idea and we could become a righteous nation once again. But as long as we have this hanging over our heads, we can never, ever be considered to be a righteous nation.
Exactly. And, you know, maybe a side note, David, we could mention here is this also, human beings having a soul is what separates us from the animal world.
Absolutely.
And so God breathed into man's nostrils, and he became a living soul. He didn't do that to the animal world. He did it to man. And we were created in his image, in his likeness. And so those are very, very good question that came to us. And remember, you can give us questions anytime you want to. Questions at harrisonmoore.org is the email. The chat room's going in two places, but we'd rather you call. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about the second question tonight. And that is with regard to this attorney who changed his mind with regard to what the Bible has to say on a certain topic. And we'll talk about this in the second half of the hour. You are listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
You're clear.
We're still on internet radio, and we'd like to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. We're taking a break on the airwaves of the radio, but internet radio is still going. We want to remind you that our motto is, and will always be, you've heard what men have said, now listen to what the Bible has to say. We want to remind you of our webpage, www.harrisonmoore.org. On that webpage, you can see archived programming. We also have podcasts available. You go to the webpage, the bottom right-hand corner, RSS feed. You can click on that and choose the type of podcast that you would like to receive, and then it automatically updates and lets you know when there is a new one that is available. I also want to remind you of a blog, www.fromthepreacherspc.org, that has study outlines, sermon outlines, articles, devotional thoughts that might be of benefit to you. Again, we also want to remind you of our email address, questions@harrisonmoore.org. We also want to remind you of our additional sponsors, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, and also the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. And we also want to especially mention Ryan Smithy, who is involved in doing our webpage and other good things for us to help us here on the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible. Again, this is a live call-in talk show. The number to call if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or comment is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Again, the email address is questions@harrisonmoore.org. This is a live call-in talk show. 1-855-QA-BIBLE.
All right, stand by. 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. With me, my good friend and partner on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. And we are so happy that you're in our listening audience this evening. This is a live call-in talk show. Number to call if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or comment is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight, David, we're looking at two questions. One we've noted already, when do we receive a spirit at conception? And the answer is yes. And if so, what happens to the aborted, murdered babies? Well, they are now in the Hadean realm and in paradise. They are there in Abraham's bosom. They are in a very good place. And David, knowing this, that a child in the mother's womb, even at conception, that they have a soul given by God, should be that which deters mankind from the murdering of these children.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And we must, absolutely must, appeal to the standard of truth, the standard of right that God gives us through His Word, because that never changes, Tom. That is something that never, ever changes. We can always count on God's Word to be the truth, and we never have to worry about Him changing His mind or something not suiting Him, or as we're going to see, a man puts it, he evolved his thinking in a certain way. God's thinking does not evolve to where it changes from the truth that it has always been. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." You hold on to that truth regardless of whatever man may say, whatever man may do, whatever man may offer you. You buy the truth, you sell it not, you keep it forever.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Now, David, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, right?
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 14, verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now, question number two. If our opinions evolve because of involvement or family, loved ones, or friends, does this make it right? Is it right, David, for our views of truth to evolve or to change based upon family situation? You know, sometimes we this call it situation ethics.
Mm-hmm.
Is it right for our idea of what is right and wrong to evolve or change based upon what our family does or what some friend does?
Well, if we use our family or we use our loved ones or we use our friends, we have then used them as the standard by which we go and not God's standard. We have traded God's standard for a self-righteous standard that we have dreamed up, and that standard would be our friends, our family, or our loved ones. Now, this question comes from something that was in the paper that is quite disturbing to me. It comes from the Associated Press talking about this attorney, Charles Cooper. This judge that was hired by a group of concerned moral citizens in California to represent the views of Proposition 8. The views of Proposition 8 was to uphold the marriage standard as God had designed it between one man and one woman for life. That was the Proposition 8. And it excluded the state of California from recognizing that a man could marry a man and call it a marriage, or that a woman could marry a woman and call that a marriage. And the proposition passed by 1 million votes, and a homosexual judge sitting on the bench struck it down with the stroke of a pen. So then they hired this fellow by the name of Charles Cooper, who went there and he vigorously defended the godly view, the biblical view of marriage that God had designed. And then later, as of yesterday, he comes out publicly with this quote. He says, quote, "My views evolve on issues of this kind the same way as other people's do, and how I view this down the road may not be the way I view it now or how I viewed it 10 years ago, Attorney Charles Cooper." And this is by the Associated Press. Now, the reason that he has changed his view on this thing, Tom, is that his daughter is currently involved in preparing a wedding with his blessings and with his help, preparing a wedding so that she can marry another woman, his daughter. And so now the man that vigorously upheld God's viewpoint on marriage between one man, one woman, now he says, "My views have evolved."
You know, David, if we allow, or if this attorney allows his opinion of truth to evolve from one position to another or to the opposite side, would he not be absolutely worthless as an advocate for anyone?
No
doubt. Would you want somebody defending you who will change their view of what is true at a whim?
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't want anyone defending me that wasn't altogether backing the truth. Altogether. Just because somebody in my family or one of my loved ones or one of my friends has a different view on adultery now, mm-hmm, that doesn't make it right ever.
You know, a person, David, may have a different view or different opinion as to what is the best tasting fish.
Mm-hmm.
Some may like catfish. Some may like redfish. Some may like a crappie, like some preachers in this area we know.
Mm-hmm.
But those are areas of subjective ideas.
Right.
They are subjective to a person's personal feelings. But with regard to God's standard of morality, whether it be homosexuality or whether it be with regard to marriage, divorce, and remarriage, or whether it be involved in any kind of fornication,
mm-hmm,
God has a standard. And what you think about it or what somebody else thinks does not change God's standard. This attorney started out right.
Yes, he did.
He went with God's standard, and I guess he used biblical precepts to prove that what he was saying was true. And now what does he do? His child gets off into some sin, and he changes his view. Where's the backbone in a man like that?
There is no backbone. And the word that he has cloned here for us tonight is evolve. And you and I kicked this around just a little bit earlier. It is more than a change, Tom. A change, a person can change his mind one way and he can change his mind back. But if a person evolves into something else, he can't go back. He can't evolve back. He evolved in another direction. And using evolution as a way to describe his thought process, here we are in the 21st century, and I have evolved with the rest of the people, like the rest of the multitude that is now saying that that marriage between a man and a man and a woman and a woman is okay.
You know,
these two opinions are diametrically opposed to one another. They can't both be right.
Exactly. When you use the word evolve, you usually think of an idea of moving to a higher level of being.
Yes.
Well, here a man who's saying, now I have evolved to a higher level of thinking. And so what he's doing now, David, is placing his thinking above that of God's.
Mm-hmm.
He's evolved, he says, to a higher level of thinking than Jehovah God has. You know, I've known some people, David, who really believe that they've evolved in that way. They have a higher spiritual understanding of things than the very Word of God.
There's no doubt.
And that's what this guy's saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when somebody goes against God's Word, when somebody goes against God's standard and comes up with another standard based upon family, based upon loved ones, based upon friends, we've got trouble, especially if we've got those people in places of leadership. Now, Tom, God's standard of marriage has never changed.
Exactly.
From its conception. No pun intended there.
You know, David, in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 and 5, it says, "And he answered and said, Have ye not read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." That's God's standard for marriage from the very beginning of time, and Jesus reiterates that as being God's standard for marriage.
It started all the way back at the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of mankind, God put this in place. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, 25, 26.
God created Adam and Eve.
Yes.
He did not create Adam and Steve.
No.
And so from the very beginning, God has told us how he wants the family to be organized.
Right.
A male and a female. That is God's idea.
And it's his standard, and we can't change. We have no right to change that standard. Later on, Paul would write a letter to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5, and he talks about the husband and wife relationship in verse number 31. He says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Again, he reiterates what God put together, what Jesus reiterated, and now Paul, through the Holy Spirit, he reiterates it again to the church there at Ephesus. It is God's standard and has always been.
You know, Dave, we're going to talk more about this in a little bit, but it's important for us to understand this is not just a homosexual issue.
Mm-mm. No, it's not.
It is a divine standard issue. Are we going to abide by what God says, whether it be homosexuality or murder, or whether it be theft, or whether it be honesty or lying? God's standard is right.
Right.
And man must abide by God's standard, even though peer pressure or family might try to dictate otherwise.
Sure. And when we look at God's plan for us, we ought to be glad that this plan doesn't change, that it doesn't just rear back and evolve, you might say.
Mm-hmm, exactly right.
And so we have this problem of of people wanting to substitute one standard for another and get the evolving in this thing. And we can't go against God's standard. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8. Have you got that there pulled up?
And we might mention that this lawyer has changed his mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said he's evolved and evolved into something higher in learning, right?
Right.
He's changed his mind. But God does not change his mind. His standard does not change. For in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it says that Jesus is the same yesterday and today, yea, and forever. In other words, God does not change. His standard of morality, his standard of what is right or wrong, does not change.
That is an objective
standard.
Yeah, it doesn't evolve with time as this lawyer is trying to implicate here. God has condemned homosexual fornication since before the law of Moses. Now, this guy can kick up and throw dust and change his mind and evolve all he wants to, but it's not going to change the truth. It's not going to change the standard that God has set before us. And we can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 19 and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah because of the homosexual immorality that was there, the fornication that was taking place there. He destroyed the entire land around there because they were involved in that kind of thing. They defiled the land. And then comes the law of Moses.
Exactly. In Leviticus chapter 18, verses 22 through 24, it talks about how that they were not to lie with mankind as with womankind. They were not to defile themselves in these things. You know, David, homosexuality is a defiling of the body.
Yes.
That's what the law of Moses taught. That's what was taught in the patriarchal period. But it's also taught in the New Testament as well, isn't it?
No doubt about it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, in very plain English that anyone can understand, he says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Be not deceived by a lawyer. Be not deceived by the Supreme Court of the United States. Be not deceived by President Obama. Be not deceived by any of your representatives, by any law that is made. Be not deceived, because God doesn't change."
Exactly.
And
right.
He says here, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And so it's not just about homosexuality. Anything that defies the standard that God has set forth is in for total and absolute destruction, because that is the one and only standard that we have. It is an objective standard of truth.
Exactly. You know, David, what's really sad in our day and time is that even stalwarts of the faith, men and women of great faith, mm-hmm. whom we have looked up to in days gone by,
right,
have allowed their opinions to evolve, in quotation marks,
right,
when it concerns their children or friends or loved ones. They have held the truth in regard to many topics for many years, but then all of a sudden, they change their mind. They, if you will, evolved when their children or some friend got involved in that which the Bible clearly condemns.
Right. And as we just read in the Bible here, adulterers cannot go to heaven. And so no mama wants to see her daughter not go to heaven. And so they try to justify what they do by changing their standard to a standard that is not even valid, so that they can assume that my daughter ought to be happy just like everybody else's daughter.
And I know the Lord wants me to be happy. Mm-hmm. Don't you want me to be happy, Daddy?
Mm-hmm.
And so Daddy gives in instead of staying with God's word. And now not only is he condoning error, he's also helping his child continue in sin.
Sure.
What kind of loving father or what kind of loving friend is that to change your view. Now, if this lawyer really believed what he believed, that the Bible says homosexuality is a sin and marriage should be between a husband, a man, and a woman, mm-hmm. what's he now doing to his daughter now that he has changed his view, saying, I've evolved? He is condemning his daughter to hell.
Sure he is. Sure, and with his blessing.
What kind of loving father is that?
Well, he's a spineless father is what he is, a spineless one.
You know, when you give in more to the desires of your children than what's best for them, mm-hmm. you do them harm.
And all in the world you have to do that is just get away from the standard of God. Mm-hmm. Just get away from the standard of God and use man's standard instead. Now, people who would like to claim that they are Christians, Tom, and I talked about this a little bit yesterday in our sermon here at Hillcrest, but people who like to claim that they are Christians, they usually go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2 to try to deflect the condemnation from their loved ones. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, well, you know, homosexuals can't go to heaven. And first of all, they say, well, judge not that you be not judged. That's what Jesus said right there. You cannot judge because you have no right to judge because Jesus says you have no right to judge. And Jesus, they're trying to justify their behavior by saying that Jesus commanded us not to judge. Jesus is only condemning there a certain kind of judgment.
Isn't it amazing, David, that people know little Bible, but they seem to always know Matthew chapter 7, verse 1.
They don't know where it is, but they know it's in there somewhere.
They've heard it said,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's in the red ink.
Yeah.
It's in the red
ink. So here we have people who try to justify someone else's actions by saying, well, you know, they're my friend or they're my family member, and I can't condemn them because the Bible says mm-hmm. that we are not to judge.
Right.
Well, it is true that there are certain cases we are not to judge, and you notice that in the context of Matthew chapter 7, he's condemning hypocritical judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps judging without mercy, that mm-hmm. would be hypocritical judgment. But, you know, the Bible tells us very clearly in John chapter 7 and verse 24, the Bible says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. There is a judging that is to take place, and it is a righteous judgment. Well, Psalm 119 verse 172 tells us that God's word is righteous. Mm-hmm. And so when we judge according to God's word, we are doing the right thing. And when we condemn homosexuality because the Bible says we are to do that, yes, we are judging, and yes, it is commended and demanded by the word of God that we do such for the saving of their souls.
Sure it is. Sure it is. And this is what a lot of people don't want to get a hold of. And I'm reminded, and I told this story yesterday about this woman in the gym where I work out. We were a bunch of us lined up on the treadmills there watching the news that came on at 4:30 in the morning, and Justin Bieber came on the television set. He had been involved in some kind of illegal activity and been arrested, and he had been the topic of conversation that day. And this woman made a comment that he was no longer a good example for society. And I said, well, you know, he, like every other child actor and child singer, they get caught up in the Hollywood scene, of adultery and immorality and homosexuality. And she said, oh, no, you see, you can't judge homosexuals. You can't judge homosexuals. It's not right for you to judge homosexuals. I have a lot of friends and I have a lot of loved ones that are homosexuals. And I said to her, well, you didn't have any problem judging Justin Bieber just a moment ago. Well, you can't judge homosexuals and I will not judge them. And I mentioned to her then, I said, did you know it is God's word that judges them? It is God's word that condemns their behavior. And she said, I don't care. I will not judge them. Now, what this tells me, Tom, is that people only want to go to the Bible to justify what suits them. And just as quick as the Bible doesn't suit them anymore, they want to change their standard to the standard of my friends, my loved ones, and those that I really care about.
How hypocritical is it, David, for a person to stand there and condemn Mr. Justin Bieber And here's somebody else who's involved and is just as bad a sin as he is, mm-hmm. and yet they won't condemn them.
No, not
at
all.
You know, homosexuality is fornication. It is no worse or no better than adultery. It is a sin mm-hmm. in God's sight. And for one to say, I can't judge homosexuality, but I would think it would be wrong for my husband to cheat on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's their logic there?
Well, they have thrown God's standard out and used their own self-righteous standard. They're not judging righteous judgment, as according to God's word, but their self-righteous judgment. Whatever they believe is righteous, that becomes their self-righteous standard of life.
Okay, so here we have a lady who says, well, I'm not going to judge that person who's my friend. He's a homosexuality. I'm not going to judge that.
Mm-hmm.
But here's somebody else. Here's her daughters over here. And her husband is running around with other women. Do you think she's going to judge that?
Oh, you better believe she will.
See, we need to get back to God's standard.
Mm-hmm.
Because our feelings and the things that we come up with, they cloud our thinking.
Right.
Only God's word is right. Only God's word is true in this regard. You know, David, when we think about this idea of judging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember back in Numbers of chapter 24 and verse 13 that the prophet Balaam was offered by Balak gold and silver, and he says, I can't go beyond what God has said, even if you were to offer me all of your palace. He said, I cannot go beyond what God has said. And here's the question that I have for you, David. What is it that might cause someone to go beyond what God has said?
Well, there are all kinds of things. And I think God outlines them for us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. He says, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. These things right here, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, they're not of God, but they are of the world. And the world passes away, and all of these lusts thereof, but the word of God, it abides forever.
Mm-hmm.
And the standard of God abides forever. But you can sell it for gold and silver. And what does Proverbs 23:23 say? Buy the truth and sell it not.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have another example of Micaiah in 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 13 and 14, where 400 different prophets came down there and said, now look, he wants you to come up here and prophesy to him, but and all of us are in one accord here with this, and you need to be with us on this deal, and we'll all be together, we'll all be in harmony with our decision. And Micaiah says, as the Lord lives, I will speak what he says. He was not influenced by peer pressure.
Exactly right. You know, and that is really, David, the whole point of our program tonight, that is to get back to what God says.
Mm-hmm.
Don't allow opinion or what you think or what you feel, what somebody else has said, what family has said. It is always God's standard that by which we are to live our lives. David, we're about out of time. Give us the last word.
Well, I want to thank everyone for getting on the chat box. I want to thank everyone for listening, and I want to commend people for reading their Bibles and finding out what God's Word really has to say. This is our motto. You've heard what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. You are listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, and I commend you for reading your Bibles. God bless America. God bless you for studying your Bible. Tom, you got the last word.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
All right, you're clear.
Alrighty. Next time.
All right.